I will deviate a little bit from the hardcore science and discuss a little bit about, let's say, soul searching, whether the models we develop actually go beyond non-modeless, whether we are whether we are talking to ourselves, or whether we are able to take these models beyond ourselves. I think there are three main claims or premises on which modeling efforts have been based. One is that the models enhance our understanding of mechanisms, or they help us to enhance field research, or we can apply these models for some decision making. I think these are the three broad premises for modeling activity. My conviction is that in the area of understanding of mechanisms, there have been a lot of progress, and many things have been accomplished in that area. In applying models to field research, there has been some successes. I think we heard a lot about field calibration and so forth. In forage sciences, also, there has been some progress, although not comparable to crop modeling. But models are being used to explore, to investigate a lot of interesting questions. One of such range models is called GPFarm, which the USDA developed. And with simple, with inputs and weather and so on, we could simulate the growth of forage over time. I'll show some examples of simulation results from this model. You see forage growth impacted by grazing, either by sheep or cattle, and we can show that there is quite good agreement between what we simulate and what we observe. The question I'm posing, however, is that is modeling just limited to a modeling society, or are we going beyond that? And to have some idea of that, I did a survey on modeling efforts, taking Africa as a case, as a base. Over the past 20 years or so, there have been about 100 training workshops in crop modeling in Africa. In fact, I just got a paper. They're going to do another one next year, March. And they've trained about 4,000 scientists in modeling work. I went and looked at the publications coming out of these trainings. You know, these scientists, what do they do after the modeling training? I look at ICASA website and Web of Science and other sources. When you look at the output of papers from some of the most common or popular models, DSAT seems to be making the headway, 25 papers over 25 years. Natmon is a nutrient model developed in Holland, 18 papers. APSIM is fairly new, 15 papers. The universal soil loss equation. So when you add up those, these are sort of the giant models that we know. They're all less than 100 papers. I may be wrong, because I may have overlooked some of the gray things in gray literature. But the point is, 4,000 people trained over 20 years, and they output less than 100 papers. Are we really making that impact? Or is the modeling just, you know, everybody goes to a workshop and puts it somewhere, and that's the end of it? How do we reach out beyond ourselves? I took this diagram from Schaefer. That's fairly old. I don't know if I can see clearly, but it's showing the probability of choosing and using a model by a practitioner vis-a-vis a model developer. And you can see that from the practitioner's point of view, a simple model, not detailed, will be very attractive. From the scientific point of view, a very detailed model is what is considered a good model. How do we bridge the gap? We want practitioners and other people to use these models. What do we do? I think we need to interact with these people and to get their viewpoint. What sort of model do they want to use? Is it an issue of details of the model? I think it's an issue of interface. We can have a detailed model, but I can put a very simple interface on it to appeal to a certain user. And I think this is where we have to direct our attention. For the policy people, number two, the interface should be fairly detailed. For a field researcher who is interested in knowing parameter values, the interface could be more detailed. I'll put some examples here. For a rancher or a farmer, perhaps this is all that he needs, although the model can be detailed. The same model, let's give everybody the chance of taking advantage of the state of the art of science. But then let's have an interface which addresses the person's interests. For a field researcher, maybe a more complex interface where he or she can look at parameter values and determine those. I think these are the ways we have to present our models to go beyond ourselves. Otherwise, we always meet and talk about models, but then the community is very small. Before I conclude, I just want to mention that there is no real modeling course anywhere. Very few universities teach modeling as a course. They are taught in engineering departments or maybe mathematics department. Those that we want to use the models are agronomists. They don't have any chance at all to have any proper exposure to this. I'm proposing that perhaps a proper course curriculum be integrated into agronomy, into the standard agronomy, just as we have statistics. So that students who do agronomy will have taken some courses in crop modeling or modeling concepts, have used some of this in their research, and when they graduate, this is part of them. I don't think the workshop approach has worked much. As I said, the case in Africa, 4,000 scientists produce 100 papers in 20 years. I don't think that is really going to make any impact. We need a proper course base. As I see the seniors in crop modeling retiring and their offices being closed, I have a fear that soon the whole subject is going to disappear unless there are some efforts to get this done. And also just to mention that it's important to interact with the clients and design not models but interfaces that would help us convey the modeling message to them. I think this is all I want to present. So not hardcore science, but some reflections on how we could get the models a bit more attracted to the users. Thank you.
Thank you.